every now and then on a sporting discussion, we go away from our normal format of AJ and I having our witty repartee, and we go to interviews with people who, rather than talking about sport or watching sport, are actually doing the sport. And this time it is the Australian Dodgeroos, who are over in New York for the Dodgeball World Cup. The women's team are the reigning champions. The men's and the mixed teams are also over there. I was lucky enough to speak with Madison Patmore and Vice Captain Kate McConnell just a day and a half before they start the defence of their title. So have a listen, and if you can, get onto the Dodgeroos Facebook page and they will have all the links where you'll be able to watch the games live. Madison Patmore, Kate McConnell, welcome to A Sporting Discussion.
Thanks for having us.
Nice to be here.
Now, you are not in the room with me. You are, in fact, over in New York. What are you doing over in New York?
Yeah, we're here for the Dodgeball World Cup, which is on Friday and Saturday, which is very exciting.
Absolutely. And a lot of people probably wouldn't even know that, one, there are dodgeball tournaments, and two, that there would be a Dodgeball World Cup. Let's go right back to first principles. We all remember playing poison ball in the schoolyard, or at least that's what it was called when I went to school. What is dodgeball?
Well, dodgeball, if you haven't seen the movie already, is basically a game where you've got two teams on a court, five balls, and you throw it as hard as you possibly can and try and get the other team out.
Very, very simple concept, but I'm going to imagine that it is not as simple as it sounds.
Not at all. There's a lot of strategy for dodgeball, including different positions and a lot more rules than people expect. So some of the main things would be, well, some of the main ones that are known would be, if you throw a ball and it gets caught, then you're out, but you can also bring a team player in. And then there's also different strategies to defense and offense. So we are known to be a two-ball defense, so we like to reset with the least amount of balls so the other team is advancing at us, so we can defend and then go and attack them.
I like it. So obviously everyone on the court has a different role to play. Are there set positions, or is that determined by how you would like to play?
I guess we do have set positions, but everyone should be able to play everywhere. So you've got the wings, which are the ones right on the outside of the court. Then you've got support, one in from them that sort of will move out into the wing when they're out and try and support them from that position. And then you've got centers in the middle that are usually the ones that are calling and, you know, making sure the strategy is working, I guess.
And are there different physical attributes? I know that obviously with volleyball, you have your super tall players right up at the net. Are there different physical attributes for each of the positions, or is it pretty much a free for all?
Well, you're actually talking to myself, who is fairly new to dodgeball, but I'm actually a volleyballer, so I'm that ridiculously tall person, and I'm on the wing. So on the wings, you're normally quite strong in your throw, so known as the strikers, basically. So Maddie here is one of the best catchers on the team. So in her position at center, she basically, any of the men or any of the women throw at her, she's a good chance that you're going to get caught out. Whereas me, I'm a bit tall and lanky and I'm not the best catcher. But,
but her striking power is amazing. So, it just depends on, I mean, there's some shorter people that are good wings, but it just depends on who the player is, I guess, and what their best attribute is. So, yeah.
And I guess it's all about complementing each other as well.
100%. If you've got a really strong wing, but they're not being backed up by both the other wing protecting them, but also your middles advancing forward and like scare tactics and putting the other team off, as well as being a threat to step in front of the center person will step to the side in front of the wing person to take a catch. So Maddie does that very well. She'll take like a step forward and intercept a ball coming in from an angle at us.
Yep.
Because at any one time, if there's a a team, they might have four balls, you might have one, and so you pretty much know four people or three people are going to throw at you. So you you basically want to be as well protected as possible. So there's not much, no one better than Maddie to have by his side to try and intercept those balls and catch them.
Well,
and
yeah, it's good for us to make sure we do the scare tactics as well, even if you don't have a ball, to make sure you're waving your arms and.
I want to park that for a minute. I want to come back to scare tactics, but the first thing, and Kate, you mentioned that you're new to dodgeball from volleyball. I just want to know, how did you both get into dodgeball? So Madison, where did it start for you?
So some of my friends in high school actually started a team, and I wasn't on it, but then I had a free Thursday night and they said, come down and have a go. And I just never left. I had a great time, and it was more of a social thing back then. So it was just a lot of fun. And then when I got to uni, I joined the uni club, and I met a lot of good friends that are really competitive in dodgeball, and that's how I got into the competitive side of it. So, yeah, it was just a bit of a luck of the draw, turning up to one round and then never left.
Brilliant. Kate, how about you?
Oh, like all good Australians, I was at the footy with some friends from high school, and one of my mates has been playing dodgeball for a couple of years, and he asked me if I wanted to come down and join his dodgeball team, and I suppose I pretty much say yes to any sport that I can possibly get my hands on.
It's like, yeah, I'll give it a crack.
Yeah, 100%. So I play state league volleyball for a club that I played for 10 years almost. Mm-hmm. And I also do CrossFit. And so I thought, why not try and add a third sport into my repertoire? And believe it or not, besides, I think, a maximum of 5 clashes out of probably 40, over 40 to 50 kind of timings this year, I've managed to fit in all my sports.
Amazing, amazing. And now there's one thing, which is playing dodgeball. Then the next thing is getting to the point where you're representing your country at dodgeball. Now, what's the journey there? How have you gone from just playing randomly on a Thursday night or just playing with mates to firstly then being competitive and then secondly getting to the Australian setup?
Yeah, I guess it's the we both found the passion for the sport, I guess, first to come into the competitive side. We're both very competitive people. So that didn't hurt our chances of becoming a competitive dodgeballer, I guess. And then we both heard about tryouts, and a couple of people, you know, said you really should try out. It'd be good, you know, good opportunity. And then I guess we both just got through. Kate was very early to the sport, so she'd only played a few games and got into the team. So she was a natural-born dodgeballer, I guess. And
I actually, I came down. It was my first game, and I got clocked in the face by the Australian men's team captain. So my jaw was out for almost a week. But I was playing mixed in the Premier League, that's based in Victoria. They've spread to New South Wales now, so we have majority of the dodgeball community playing for Australia. Have come from New South Wales and Victoria, but after a couple of games, I'd obviously had been earmarked and came three quarters of the way through the trialing session and made the team, which was a pretty big honour.
The fact that you copped a ball in the face and wanted to come back and say no, it's fine, I'm right. I think that was probably something where people went, yeah, we can definitely use her in this team.
Yeah, I was more like, awesome, when can I play him next? And I'll try and give it back to him.
Oh, I love it. And so over in the World Cup, there are three tournaments. There's the men's tournament, the women's tournament, and the mixed tournament. And Australia has a team in all three of those?
We sure do.
Yeah, so the women are defending champions from 2016, so we've got a big target on our back.
Who did you defeat last time? Who's the people that
the women defeated Austria last time? So me and Kate weren't in the team at that stage, but there was a few people on the team now that were there. Yeah, so they won against Austria. So yeah, it was a big tournament. It was the first World Cup, so big honour for them to win that first title.
Absolutely. And obviously coming to defend the title, it's 10 nations, is that right? Two groups of five teams, and you've got Malaysia in your group.
Yeah, so that's going to be a big one. We're pretty good friends, I guess, with Malaysia because we're from the Asia. So we do the Asia Pacific Cup between the World Cup, I guess.
Yep.
So yeah, they're looking really good this year. So we'll have to keep an eye out for them. And yeah, so there's 13 nations that are playing. So there's 10 in each section. And so yeah, there's 13, I think, is it?
Yeah. So there's not so every the Pacific Cups or the each individual cup has a certain amount of teams that get through. So not every nation got to have their men's mixed and women's team, but a lot of the nations, a lot of the stronger nations have built their teams to basically make all of them qualify. So yep. Last year in the Asia Pacific Cup, we travelled over to Malaysia. That was mine and Maddie's first international experience, and we basically played the round robins and played Singapore, Hong Kong, Iran, Brunei. We played, yeah, quite a few teams that are part of our Asia Pacific Cup, and it ended up being Malaysia versus Australia in all divisions. So the women had already had a ticket through to the through to New York this year, but we obviously still put our best foot forward and played as hard as we can. So there was an additional team that came from the Asia Pacific Cup because we technically didn't count. Malaysia being a very, very competitive country in sport and wanting to make dodgeball fairly high up their ranks, they actually started training 4 times a week for 3 months to get all their players in the best possible conditioning. So they actually took out gold in all divisions, and Australia took out silver in all divisions. So the competitive streak is definitely there. So we've prepared ourselves between last year and this year a fair bit and hope that we can, we can overpower them this year, which would be nice.
So you talk about that competitive streak, but there's also a fair bit of camaraderie. I noticed that that Malaysia, Austria and yourselves had a joint group training session during the week.
Yeah, we did actually. It was a very, very small, I think it was a primary school or high school.
Yeah, it was like a primary school basketball court. It was
half a basketball court, very, very small. We actually barely could fit the entire our entire court lineup on the one half. so we played Malaysia in some friendly matches, and we had basically all the supporters creating a line between us and Austria who wanted to do a specific training session for their own skills. So there was probably about 100
because
people in half a basketball court, pretty
amazing.
Much. Yeah. So it was very tight, but yeah, it was really good. We have a very great relationship with Malaysia. We've actually developed an Asian Dodgeball Federation. So all of the Asia Cup teams have joined together to be a federation to support each other as well, to have one voice coming to the world stage. So, we went out for lunch with one, or for an early dinner with one of the Malaysian players who's one of their most experienced players, because we took her to a CrossFit class because she does CrossFit over in Malaysia. So we wanted to catch up and do some CrossFit over in New York. So
you didn't try to get her any food poisoning?
Didn't try to get her food poisoning, but I was definitely pushing her on the weights to try and get her to burn herself out a little bit. She was trying to chase me. So it was really good to that competitive streak all the way through. But no, we have a great relationship with them. They're so lovely.
And I noticed that prior to the tournament, or in addition to the tournament, there is the World Invitational as well, which is an event for the nations that didn't make the World Cup, and it's a rankings event for them. So obviously there are a huge number of countries that are getting into dodgeball and that have teams. How big do you think that the sport is going to get?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's getting a lot bigger. In Europe, it's massive. They've got teams in a lot of countries compared to Asia. We've got, what have we got, maybe 6 or 7? Oh, no, there's probably more, maybe 10?
Yep.
Well, to put it into perspective, one of the European teams, it's basically their club team that is their country team. So the fact that they're able to pull such great players out of, out of a small area where we try and draw it from as many places as possible. I mean, Australia is fairly multicultural as it is, so we've got quite a few different spread of people, but Yeah, I think Australia, it's definitely building, and over the world it's definitely building. The World Dodgeball Federation are trying to they've been approaching the Olympics and been kind of going through that process for the last couple of, I think last year and a bit now.
Yeah, and I think it shows that now that Australia's got the recognition from the government that we are, you know, playing for Australia, and it's just, it's a big step in the sports sort of history, I guess. Well, it will be the history eventually.
Yep.
Yeah. So we've just recently gotten Australian Sporting Commission recognition, so we're actually allowed to play with the coat of arms on our uniform. So that's a massive honour that we're all very excited about this year. So it was a surprise to all of us when we went on one of our going away camps for training. They announced that we had been and that they had been successful in gaining that recognition, which is really important for the sport. So the government recognises it now. So fingers crossed we can get some more funding and get some more support for the athletes that are hopefully in the years to come.
Yeah, brilliant. And because that's what it's all about. It's about getting the right amount of funding. And when you're an amateur sport, it's very difficult. And so to get that recognition is massive. And there is a slight change that's recently been announced to the Australian Sports Commission. So it's been renamed Sport Australia, and there's going to be a slightly different focus on not just on, this sounds weird, not just on winning, but on the impact that the Australian sporting teams have on society in general. And I think that's probably come about due to the most recent Australian Olympics compared to the most recent Australian Winter Olympics teams, where the Winter Olympics was seen as much more relaxed, but people were really taking inspiration from it. So I think that probably works in dodgeball's favour as well, because it seems as though it's a much more community-minded game or sport than a lot of others.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it has started as a local sort of leagues around the place, so it is more of a community. Everyone sort of knows everyone, I guess, pretty much. I guess it's not as big in Australia yet, but once it gets bigger, it'll be, you know, a lot, I don't know.
And I think there's a lot of different people that have been connected to the Australian team or in the Australian team that have been doing a lot. So there's a small sporting, a dodgeball club that have are looking to do dodgeball within school, like help kind of spread the dodgeball love and doing it in schools and teaching kids and things like that. For women especially, it's a, you know, especially in the women's team, you can become quite a dominant character. It's a great way to kind of take that first step up. But the community in dodgeball, everyone becomes quite close friends. So a lot of the dodgeballs end up becoming like their biggest group of friends ends up being dodgeball, and everything you talk about is dodgeball, and every night you're playing a form of dodgeball. So it's I suppose it almost becomes a bit of an obsession, and you tend to play it until your arm can't take it anymore, and you take a week off, and then off you go again.
Or you play it until you get selected for the national team to represent your country in the World Cup. And you talked about the preparation that the Malaysian team had been doing. What's the preparation been like for you guys in the lead up? So in the last couple of months before you left Australia, and in the last few days in New York.
There's a lot of emphasis on individuals creating their own fitness and healthy eating plan, because everyone's obviously very different, and with dodgeball it's different to a lot of sports where you don't have 12 people on the same team that have a very similar athletic build. Everyone's very, very different. Mm-hmm. So with a lot of our squad, we kind of developed our own fitness schedules. So myself, obviously doing CrossFit and volleyball, that's my way of, I suppose, the fitness side. And then we regularly do meals at each other's houses and doing food prep and things like that to kind of help us all be in the same boat and eating healthy. In regards to, I suppose, the team, we had regular trainings obviously leading up to the World Cup, and they intensified once we got to like closer to the time we flew out. We actually played against the Australian foam team. So there's two types of dodgeball. There's cloth and foam. So we actually versus the Australian foam team who had a lot of players on that team that actually represented Australia at Manchester for cloth. So some of the old school players that, you know, are the reason why we're defending a title, we played against them, which was awesome. And so, yeah, we basically did some pretty intense matches where we, yeah, we all tried our absolute hardest and we didn't really score it too much, but I'm pretty sure we came out.
Yeah, we didn't score it, but we definitely won.
Excellent. So I get the sense from the way that you're talking, you're pretty confident with the preparation that you've put in and that you're basically presented yourself in the best way possible to defend that title. Are you confident?
Yeah, definitely. You've got to go in with a confident mindset or you're not going to get anywhere, really. So I think we're all going in as confident as we can. We know it's going to be hard. Obviously, the women have a target on our backs and because we're the reigning champions, I guess. But it's just about playing as well as we can as a team and gelling together. And I think that the last, you know, few weeks that we had of training were really good at solidifying that. So it's just a different dynamic. I'm with, you know, the men's and the mixed and the women's. So It'll be interesting to see how everyone plays on the day. But, yeah, we're definitely confident and hope we can take out all of the three categories.
Yeah, and I suppose you can only be as prepared as you possibly can because it's such a new sport. Teams are changing drastically. So from Manchester where some teams, you know, there was rules that came in that mean teams were disadvantaged entirely or the balls change naturally every World Cup. They're just slightly different, whether the seams with logo and for women, the ball. Yeah, so I'm lucky enough that I have quite fairly large hands, so I've got the ability to kind of grab the ball and can almost throw almost any ball. But some of the women, it can become a nightmare changing the balls. So we've only recently gotten our hands on the balls for this World Cup. And there's mixed reviews, but I mean, I'm pretty happy.
I think that they fly pretty well through the air. It's just about gripping it for us with smaller hands. But it was good to have that practice, I guess, with the friendlies, and we had a few goes at throwing it around. So I think we're all a bit more comfortable with it. So that's good, I guess.
But yeah, all the teams are changing drastically.
Yeah, and one thing that you mentioned before that I wanted to come back to is scare tactics. Now, when you talk about scare tactics, I'm assuming that there's no horses' heads in opponents' beds and things like that.
No.
It's more.
Well.
Well, or at least not to be published, not to be publicised.
Yeah, we wouldn't be advertising that. no, I guess we mean on the court, it's all about making sure you look intimidating and we call it when you've got, either if you've got a ball or not, you fake with the ball so that the other team thinks you're going to throw.
Yep.
And if you don't have a ball, you've got to try and, you know, flap your arms around as much as you can to.
Maddie actually, we have a trademark word for Maddie. She does the chicken wing, which is if you watch some of the games we played last year in Malaysia, from the middle when teams would come up, they would hone in on a wing and they'd basically throw three or four balls at that wing quiet, and they'd be quite honed in. But when you've got someone from the middle that's advancing at you, flapping their arms at you, it tends to stuff them up a fair bit. So on multiple occasions, Maddie would actually either make them stagger their throws so they weren't all going at the same time, or one person wouldn't throw correctly, or that stuff up because Maddie was actually using her scare tactics, her horse's head to stop them from timing too well.
It looks ridiculous and might feel a little bit ridiculous while you're doing it, but it is quite effective.
It is effective.
What I try to tell people.
That's the thing. If it makes the opposition turn their head and take an extra half second before they throw, then it's done its job. It's suitably
exactly.
Scared.
And sometimes they will. Yeah, sometimes they do, and they'll turn around and they go, oh, crap, they might have a ball. Maybe I'll throw it at them, and you might get a lucky catch randomly out of that. So
that's why I leave the chicken wing to Maddie, because I don't want them to throw a ball at me, so they can keep throwing at the other wing, and I'll just strike them from the other side.
Yeah, so us middles are trying to take as much pressure away, and so are the other wings, I guess, too. So it's a very strategic game, so it's very
there's a lot going on in a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
Now you talk about people, they need to see this this chicken wing to really appreciate it. Now, is there a way that us back here in Australia are able to watch the matches in the Dodgeball World Cup?
Yeah, definitely. So if you follow the Australian Dodgeroos Facebook page, all of the information is going to be posted up there. But we know that the second day, which is the finals day, it'll be live streamed on YouTube, and all the links will be forwarded from that Facebook page. And then I think they're still working out exactly what's happening the first day, but it will be put up on the Facebook page, and it will be recorded if it's not live, but I'm pretty sure it should be live eventually. So
yeah, so the first day they're definitely going to have the ability for it to be recorded and streamed. We had a really good streaming over in Malaysia as well. I suppose the little bonus for us this year is ESPN have actually gotten on board, because the final day is at Madison Square Garden in the Woolworth Theatre. So, yeah, very exciting. We're actually playing at MSG, so it doesn't get much cooler than that in New York. But the ESPN's actually going to be filming it, and they'll be playing that.
It's on the 8th of August. I think they're going to be putting it on their stream, I guess.
That's very exciting.
But the Australian Dodgeroos Facebook page will have regular updates with how the team's going, and also we'll have the links. We'll be posting the links to the streaming. So the Australian Dodgeroos is where it's at.
Yeah. Now, if my judgment of timing is correct, so 4:40 p.m. on Friday the 3rd of August, New York time, is your first match against Malaysia, which in my head is 6:40 a.m. on Saturday morning, the 4th of August, in Australia. Now, Malaysia, playing them first up, am I right in saying Malaysia, Australia and Austria in the women's are the three teams to beat?
England in women's as well. England's also a big threat as well. I think those would be the top four teams. So Malaysia is going to be one of our biggest competitions.
Yeah, so it's a huge game to start the tournament.
It certainly is. Yeah. In our pool, we've got Malaysia, which is good and bad. I mean, I think obviously to be the best, we need to beat everybody. So bring them up. First up gives us the opportunity to lay our piece from last year, and then move on. But the rest of the teams in our pool, we've got Singapore, Slovenia, and Egypt. Me and Maddie have only played Singapore in the Asia Pacific Cup last year, so we've never played Slovenia or Egypt. So they're all going to be competitive matches, because at the end of the day, all the teams have made the World Cup. So it's just a matter of making sure we put our game faces on, put the right team on, and rest the right players for the next day.
Absolutely. And then the quarterfinals, it's the top four teams from both groups play across each other, and then the semifinals, and then the final. So, Madison and Kate, thank you very much for joining me here on A Sporting Discussion. All the very best for the Dodgeball World Cup to you two, to the women's team, and also to the men's and mixed teams.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you.